So important thing to remember that this is a cycle that happens up to 80 times per second. So every pulse, we're basically removing that top layer of occlusive material. It's converted to debris. We're absorbing the light. We're establishing the vapor bubble. The vapor bubble is helping with some of the debulking, but also with some of the cooling process. But it can dilate the surrounding tissue. And I know, Kim, we're going to talk about this in a sec, but we're going to show some pictures of an artery actually being dilated by the vapor bubble. And getting back to Kenny's point of sizing is critical, but I would say sizing is critical, but also controlling that fluence early on is a factor, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would agree. The thing I think to remember here on a maybe a CTO type lesion that is more calcified, hard, you have no blood flow, has less moisture content, if you will. With all those things said, you're probably creating less of a mechanical absorption or affected zone because the vapor bubbles in turn are smaller with not have as much moisture in the lesion. So here I think it's important to remember to go slow, stay steady, and allow the catheter to work in all being that it may be a little less effective than it's somewhere that's not considered a CTO. Yeah.
So patience is key.
Yes.
Absolutely. Most precision processes are going to be a little slower than very coarse processes.
Absolutely. Yes. Also at the bottom here, you can see I've had darkened here cavitation effects that can break down soft tissue. This goes back to that vapor bubble, and I think we've talked about where we've had instances of a stent that can't be fully opposed because there's some calcium or some really fibrotic material behind that. We'll go in and lays, and even though the fibers aren't coming in contact with anything occlusive, the vapor bubble with this concussive cavitation effect is breaking down those hard fibrotic or even calcific bonds and allowing us to get full expansion.